Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest, our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, 2001 Small Business Journalist of the Year. That's a national award the SBA gave him. He's the author of a number of books, including Safe at Home, including Home Office Know-How, and he is the Chief Home Officer. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to be around.
It's good to have you back. How are things in South Florida?
Things are good. Summer light is slowly approaching. We really don't have winter in South Florida. We have summer light. So that's
right.
That's slowly approaching down here. It's only
that's sort
in
of
the
like
high
in,
80s.
That's sort of like in Canada. They have in summer is 2 weeks of bad sledding. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. When the mud's a little too thick. But yeah, we're sort of cooling off a little bit. It's in the high 80s. The humidity's dropping. So you know what? Things are getting nicer.
Hey, what about the small business climate down there? They don't call me the king of Segway for nothing.
And there you go. Absolutely. You know what? It's a tough market. But
Florida's,
you know,
having a tough time right now. Florida, California are two of the four. I don't know exactly about Arizona and Nevada. I know they're having a tough time, but Florida and California seem to be the poster children for the regions that are taking the biggest hit in the recession.
You know, we're having a really hard time. I also know the Rust Belt's had a hard time because of job loss and like, but we've had a really hard time.
But that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, the tourism fall off hurts really hard, and you know, so that hurts. And then you have all the ancillaries that support tourism, and then you have the real estate, obviously, which is a major contributor. I was at a small business the other day last week. A gentleman who owns 50 acres of land right off Florida's Turnpike in Delray Beach, which is in Palm Beach County. And
right.
He's had a family nursery there for better part of a generation or more. And he's out of it. He's just like, I've had it. I can't handle this anymore. I think he's ready to get out anyway. And he has 50 acres of prime land right on the Turnpike, so he can make some good money off the sale. But the point is, real estate dried up, new construction dried up, the need for foliage and landscaping dried up, and you can see it by walking around his facility. Weeds have grown in, and it's just not kept prim and proper the way it was. It's hitting all sorts of industries. But you know what? Those who innovate and evolve will persevere, and those who don't will perish. And I think
you've been around some of the innovators in Florida down there, and you've got some stories to tell.
Yeah, I mean, I think innovation, you know, in any business, in any region is essential. If you don't innovate, you will perish. If you don't evolve with the market, and it doesn't mean innovation like being so, you know, taking that left turn at Albuquerque and totally changing the way you do things, but you know, looking at things differently, offering new products, knowing what the climate wants, what the market needs. You know, down in South Florida here, one of the things we have, you know, we have what we call the Internet Coast. So, you know, you have Silicon Valley and whatever they call it up in Manhattan.
They call it the there's another term they use, the Bio Valley or something over in Maryland.
Right, and so what we have with that is IBM was a major, major employer in the 70s and 80s here in the early 90s, and then IBM pulled out. I mean, the laptop, the IBM, I believe, or the personal computer, one of the two was really developed in Boca Raton in their labs here. And then they pulled out. And a lot of the people who were employees said, you know what, we're going to take your buyout, and we're going to stay. We like South Florida, thank you very much. We don't want to go back up to upstate New York or wherever they're located. And we don't, you know, we like it down here. We like hurricanes, you know. So we've seen tremendous innovation in computer technology, in ancillary services, in software applications. You know, Citrix Systems, the major computer networking system and solutions provider, was born here and remains here. So we have a lot of solutions and innovators that have come out of this market, but
These are people like me who left a corporation and started a small business.
Absolutely. I mean, literally garage or kitchen table launched businesses. And what it shows is you can come out of sort of that button-down, white-collar, suit and tie every day of your life, you know, golden pocket watch in 40 years type scenario, where, oops, we're going to give you a little pat on the butt on your way out the door a little bit early here and say, I can do this on my own. I mean, you did that, I did that, you know, we're the ones who have done that. And you see that, that sort of spark of entrepreneurial spirit that then evolves into so many different things that go on in bigger business, but we're able to capitalize on it in small business
Have you specific stories, examples of what some people have done?
Well, I mean, one example is, for example, Citrix and how it was launched down here and a company that started from nothing and became a major player. Now, people who know GoToMyPC and GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar know Citrix, although Citrix acquired that company, but still the same remains. There's another company down here that was some IT people.
What does Citrix do?
Citrix is a networking solutions company. I mean, essentially, I don't know what their sort of their 15-second elevator speech is, but essentially, Citrix Systems it provides solutions that connect computers allow computers and people to interact over the net. So,
and the thing is that's the kind of a business that could have been launched anywhere.
It could have been launched anywhere. It happened.
And aren't there more? Aren't there more and more of those today?
You're seeing a ton of them because what we're seeing, I mean, in a good sense and in a bad sense. I mean, you see a lot of these companies where someone will start a small company. I was interviewing somebody recently where they're a small company, but half of their production crew is based in India because they're IT. So IT can be done anywhere, you know. So they have much of their sales and marketing, and some IT is here, you know, product development for laying code in a computer is here. But the bulk of the sort of skunk work, the grunt work that goes on of actual coding is done in India, where people here are asking for 50, 75, 100 bucks an hour. India, they'll work for 10 bucks an hour. And when you're doing arbitrage, labor arbitrage, and trying to get
of course, the story you're telling us is about people who started out with, literally, as you say, at the kitchen table.
Right.
But they grew it into something else.
Right.
But some people start at the kitchen table, and they don't plan to get much bigger than that.
Well, there's a gentleman named James Chan who wrote a book called Spare Room Tycoon, and we've spoken about him before. His premise is he does not want to grow his growing business any bigger than can be run from the spare room in his home. So it can have outsourced labor, but he doesn't want to be any bigger than what his business. And he's a consultant, so it wouldn't necessarily have outsourced labor, although he would partner with people and have, you know, venture partners and things like that, and folks like that. But he doesn't want it any bigger than that which can be run from a spare room in his home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people, I've had offers to move out of here. I've had situations where I've thought it might be better to be out of the home office and into an executive suite or into shared space at if my attorney had an extra office.
Hold on to that thought, Jeff. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 after. Right back with Jeffrey Zabar. We're going to talk some more about this right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You're going to be glad you hung out there, too, because we got lots of stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Jeffrey Zabar is with us. Jeff, give us your website and tell us how we can find you.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
And you put regular posts of information
up there and blog
you're
posts.
Also on Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah, we're on Twitter, Chief Home Office, at Chief Home Office, with no R, because it takes me to 16 characters. And then also I have my Chief Home Officer fan page over on Facebook that I grab articles from all over, including my own, and post them up there just to give a little bit of additional insight and thinking of what's going on in the small business environment.
There you go. So we're talking about innovation. We're talking about... I don't know how many, so for some reason lately, Jeffrey, I've heard of a number of people who didn't go looking to start a small business, but the way they live their life, the way that they operate their business or their profession or whatever, caused them to identify something that they needed that nobody was doing.
Right.
And they said, I wonder if that would work, and they started tinkering around with it, as you say, at the kitchen table. and they before long they became an expert at it, and the next thing they knew they had a business.
Right.
And they were just innovating. They were literally, and I think you talk about innovation. I think sometimes some small business owners, when you use the word innovation, it's a little bit of a high tone word.
Right.
That's connected to patents and being an inventor and really, really smart, you know, brainiac kind of thing. And I wonder if it wouldn't serve just to say finding a niche and filling it.
You know what? That's
what do you think?
I think that speaks the language of the small business a little bit better. In the sense of, you know, a lot of small business owners aren't necessarily highbrow. They just come up with a better way, you know, a better mousetrap.
And that's
really what it is. And even that could be the phrase, you know, innovation is the better mousetrap, you know.
And the more I hear people talking, I mean, I was talking to somebody last week. I had I interviewed two or three entrepreneurs last week on the show. And I said, you know what? You found a niche inside of a niche.
Right.
And that's what's so cool, I think, about the U.S. marketplace.
Right.
Especially. And I'm sure it's happening in other parts of the world. But there are opportunities opening up out there because people want more customization, more and more, don't they?
They do, and I think that we're in a unique position to be able to deliver on whether it's customization or new product, or if we just see the market evolving in a certain way or going down the road, and we see a bend in the road up ahead, we can respond or, you know, sort of be proactive to it. But best is when the market doesn't even realize what it's going to need, and you're there to provide it once the need arrives. And so, with technology, with computing applications, with mobility, and, you know, small computers, netbooks, and small laptops, and as we've spoken before, cloud computing and internet access, you know,
right.
You can do this stuff, and you can be on your toes making stuff happen, whether it's from your home office, your small business, a cafe somewhere, an airport, you know, all these things, all these technologies allow you to you know, build that mousetrap wherever you are. But you have to be thinking that way in order for it to happen.
But here's the thing is, though, two of those entrepreneurs, one of them, they're both in the garment business, believe it or not, the fashion business, and they found niches inside of the fashion. I mean, who would believe that there was anybody who hadn't covered every single piece of terrain in the fashion industry? And both of these people found a niche inside of the fashion industry, one for men and one for women, and now they're leading their industry in what they do.
Right. Well, you know what? Again, you look at some of the trends, something like, you know, you speak of fashion, you know, the brand Crocs, those plastic, those synthetic.
Who would have thought that would become a public company?
It's since fallen on hard times, but the concept, I mean, my son, his teammates would wear them to hockey because they're great. You can use them as shower shoes. You know, they're antibacterial in a sense. I don't think that they can stay sort of relatively clean and be
they're
rinsed
plastic.
Very easily. You know, you can use them. Because they became so hot, they became fashionable. So you could use them as not dress shoes, but you could wear them out.
Crocs or these other companies. One of them is a lingerie company called Hanky Panky. I love that, don't you?
Yeah, perfect.
And the other one is a company called Bonobos, and they make men's pants. That's all they make is men's pants.
Right.
And so the thing is, though, I mean, that's pretty low tech, pretty mundane stuff. But you know, they just found this niche, and they didn't think it was anything all that special. They just started working on it. And I think that the technology is not what got them started,
right?
But in every one of their cases, the technology allowed them to leverage their idea.
It's the tool. It's not going to spark the interest unless, of course, you're in the tech sphere and you see something there. But you know, I doubt the technology made someone think to build a new pair of pants or to build a new type of shoe.
No. It was the other way around.
Exactly.
Completely the other way around.
Exactly.
Hey, Jeff, give us that website one more time.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
Hey, thanks, Jeff, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time. Going to take a quick break. Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Whether they're right or wrong, at least the mystery is gone. We'll be right back.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.